Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Options Happy Hour with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
What?
Good evening, Sherry. Do I have you muted? I don't have you muted. Oh, I have you muted. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're
okay.
You're talking away over there, and you can't hear me. I can't hear you. Okay, so good evening, Sherry.
Yes, it is a good evening, but we are going to be talking about such a glum subject, and it's about all the people who have diabetes and don't know it, and we want to help them. So I think that's good about it, but it is a subject that is terrifying to some people. We told people on Sunday, Richard, that you took some time off for yourself to go to a seminar, a workshop. Was it fun?
It was great. There were several parts, but the one we were talking a bit about backstage was visiting this farm in an area near Santa Cruz, California, which is Watsonville is about 30 minutes from the coast, so it gets coastal influence. And a person I've known for a number of years bought this farm that has existed for more than 40 years. It used to be used to grow roses for the horticulture, you know, for the flower industry. And the property sat fallow, and because the husband of the husband and wife team that had been doing it forever developed Alzheimer's, and so the property began to go into decay, and all the developers, all the home, the greedy home developers were licking their lips and, you know, like rubbing their hands together like Simon Legree, because it's, you know, it's like on a hill overlooking mountains. So they were trying to chomp it up, and the family kept refusing. And David approached the family, and David Bloom is a permaculturalist. I don't know if you get a degree as a master or a thing, but I mean, he's like a brainiac about permaculture. Approached them and said, if I buy this property, I will keep it as an agricultural production property. And they said, we would love that, and he bought it. And now a year and a half later, I was there on Sunday, and I was in a greenhouse. He has several greenhouses that are an acre in size. He has many greenhouses, but two of them are more than an acre. And these are old glass greenhouses, which is quite rare in this day and age. And I was in a greenhouse with tomatoes. Now, this is coastal California, so they've already had enough warmth for things to be growing. Well, they had to go in and put in new compost and really develop the biome of the soil and really get things back and happening. And I was in a greenhouse with tomatoes and basil and cardoon, which is a giant sort of prehistoric-looking thing that looks kind of like an artichoke, but it's just the foliage, and other things that were growing with absolutely zero chemical fertilization, zero pesticides of any kind, and the foliage on all the leaves and everything was flawless, because David has come up with this system where you use frogs and lizards and snakes, literally, as the sort of like night guard, and each species has a thing that they like to eat. Even the ladybugs, he grows the sunflowers because the ladybugs like to eat the pollen of the sunflowers, so that attracts the ladybugs. The ladybugs like to eat aphids, so his aphid control is handled by the ladybugs. He has other insects and problems that would eat a thing, and the frogs that he has ponds for inside the greenhouse live in the ponds and come out at night and feast. They eat, each frog eats, somebody did a study, which blows my mind, showing that each frog eats 68 insects a night. Now, that there's a job you want to research, but yes, 68 insects a night. So that manages their mat species, and then the lizards eat something else, and occasionally a snake just for our own. Go ahead.
Like Mother Nature. He's setting it up.
It's really, this is really set up as Mother Nature is, it's all Mother Nature doing the work. I mean, yes, they do water, Not as much, though, because of how they know how to use water. They really develop deep roots. They have tomato vines that will be, they'll produce a crop and then they'll be composted into the earth and they'll re-root. So each tomato plant will be used for 3 years. I mean, it's just, it's an amazingly efficient system that is working. As you said, you know, I'm a lazy, fat, you know, farmer. And he's laughing as he's saying it. It is hefty. However, he's joking because really, once you get the permaculture system set up, it is somewhat self-winding in that how things maintain themselves. You just walk around and make sure everything's happening and the insects are gone. And I mean, it was truly inspiring to see this kind of work.
I'm concerned about two people growing roses and both of them getting Alzheimer's. Were they using non-pesticides?
Well, they were totally using pesticides.
Well, that's a lesson.
Yes. And actually, it's interesting because he's also digging down into the earth because he's going to build some troughs so that he collects the water that you use under sprouting tables because it makes sense. And then also he's going to start growing tilapia, freshwater lobsters. Is that you can see in the earth, he says, see that white layer in the earth? That's actually where the salts from the pesticides went down to. So all that earth in the troughs are going to keep it because those are going to be lined troughs. But the rest of the earth in the greenhouses has been removed and replaced with organic compost. I mean, it took quite a period of time to do this and hundreds of dump trucks. But it's, Alzheimer's, pesticides, classic, you know, horticultural, beautiful, long roses that were sprayed, you know, repeatedly.
I'm looking at GMOs and diabetes, which we're going to talk about this evening, and GMO pesticides and diabetes. It says a direct connection between pesticides and a huge spike, as much as 250% in diabetes. So all of these things we're looking at causing dementia, causing the body to break down. We need to get somebody on the show, on our Blog Talk Sunday show, so that we can teach people how to grow their own stuff, or at least help them. And there's some survival things about growing your own thing. We should do that.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and we have some announcements we need to do. You want to do that?
Well, first I'll tell people that we're simulcast broadcasting. Sherry's over at WebEx, and I'm at Blog Talk Radio, and you can find both of those links by going to Sound Health Options, click on the Radio tab, and then from the Radio tab, click on the Today We Are Happy Hour, so click on the Happy Hour tab, and you can either scroll down and enjoy the link of the video feed and that chat room that Sherry's managing, or you can also find the link or the phone number to call in at 347-850-1407, where you can listen online, where I always like the audio at Blog Talk Radio, just because I'm biased. And there's also a chat there that if you go to the link from Sound Health Options, that will take you to the show page where you'll be able to join the chat over at Blog Talk Radio as well.
And we're sponsored today by Insulin Resistance. It's a software that we created to help people test their own insulin resistance or whether they have high glucose or not. There are more than 29 million Americans who have diabetes and really don't know it. And you don't have to go to the doctor to check this out. Here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, we have a little sugar tester, and we just hand it to people because we're not allowed to test them. And we bought it at Walmart, and you can buy the little test strips and everything right there. The test strips don't require a prescription, I should say. So you can test your own blood sugar, and it should be around 100 or so in the morning when you're fasted. And if it goes up 250, 300, 400, you're in trouble. Even after you eat, it shouldn't go up that high. So you can monitor your own. You don't have to spend a lot of money. I think that little kit was like $6 and something. And it has a little machine. You put a little drop of blood on it. They even give you a little thing to poke yourself. Make it, bleed onto this little stick, and it measures and monitors. So we're very concerned that there's 29 million Americans with diabetes, and they really don't know it. And one of the biggest symptoms is fatigue. You just have to drive yourself and smack yourself to get yourself going or climb the stairs. Heart disease, blood clots, your blood gets too thick with glucose, then you get a throw a blood clot, kidney disease, liver. So in the description for today's show, there was a lot of that what it causes. Excessive thirst, a frequent urination, obesity, fatigue, stroke. So, you know, it's $6. Go to your local Walmart, get yourself a little kit, and test it out. And we're going to show other things, too, about vaccines and what goes on. You know, when I went to the doctor just for my checkup, they wanted to give me a flu shot. And here it is right on the CDC's Center for Disease Control website, and it's just CDC adult immunizations. I'll put that in the chat. But it says people who have blood sugar issues shouldn't get flus. People who've had strokes, people who have blood clotting issues shouldn't get strokes, shouldn't get vaccines. Here they are encouraging me to get an influenza shot, which I refuse. And my dad died of pancreatic cancer. I have severe diabetes all over my family, and that's just not something they should have said to me. They didn't check it out. They're listening to somebody walking into their office. And one of the things I found, which sort of freaks me out when I was looking at this, childhood vaccinations, vaccine timing, risk for type 1 diabetes. Now, this happens to be a study that says that they didn't find a correlation. They did find a lot of kids with type 1 diabetes, but they didn't find a correlation. Other studies I saw show that there is an absolute correlation between vaccines. And, oh, this is the one where pesticides can cause diabetes. So let me put that in the chat for you, too. Richard, if people want to get on your mailing list to get notice of these wonderful environmental agricultural things that you're doing, how do they do that?
My mailing list? Wow.
Don't you have a mailing list?
I do, but, you know, yes, I do. Let me change my radio voice. Why, yes, of course. You can find that at talktomeguy.com, and I have a sign-up list on the right-hand side over there. I'll post also, the gentleman I'm talking about is David Bloom, and I'll post his link in both chats because he also is a brainiac having to do with how, you asked me this so I can't help myself now, to talk about how with his technology, which is not rocket science, this is just, he's been doing this for a long time, producing your own alcohol by using waste products. Like in Brazil, Brazil imports no petroleum products because they've been on cane sugar. They're using the byproduct of making sugar, which is the leftover cane, to produce their own alcohol in their own country. And their vehicles run on more than 30% alcohol on a daily basis, which you can do with any engine. You do not have to modify an engine to run it on up to 30% alcohol. With a small amount of modification, you can run a gas engine on 100% alcohol. So I'll put his link in the notes.
I think it's really important that we start growing some of our own food because I think that's one of the problems. We're eating so much box and pesticides and artificial food, and we've done it in a couple of generations, and our body just hasn't adjusted to that. And Steve gives us all, that's great, Steve. Can you get in touch with them and see if they're willing to be a guest here? He's talking about John Kohler would make an excellent guest about growing your own food. I love our audience. They are so full of information. Well, I'm going to look at about 10 different pieces of information before we ask for a volunteer. So is there anybody here that suspects that they have diabetes? go down to the bottom of that participants list, or I think it's punch one, where Richard is on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll get you on the show, and you can give us information about why you think you need to be tested for this. I think this is one of the most important shows we've done, and we probably should pass it along to a lot of other people. So here's another article I found about this subject, the Open Endocrinology Journal 2008. This continuation of BCG vaccination precedes significant drop in type 2 diabetes in Japanese children. Role of inflammation and cortisol activity as a cause of type 2 diabetes. So there seems to be a relationship between what the vaccines are causing and the inflammation and a cortisol response when there is stress and diabetes. In the studies that we did here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, we looked at these things. Okay, that would be great. We'll just put your hand up, Richard. I suspected you had an issue anyway, but you've said you've been tested and you really don't. So for those of you just listening, these are the things that we found when we were looking at insulin resistance in people. Now we're doing another one on diabetes because we found new information showing the liver's involved. And Richard, I think we've already concluded that your liver needs some help. So we found insulin. And insulin is a note of right at the border of F and F sharp. And then insulin receptors, and I think there's 19 of them. And that tells you how important insulin is to the body. It needs to go into organs. It needs to go in the brain. It needs to go in the nerves. It needs to go in the muscles. So a lot of different kinds of receptors. Glucose, that's really blood sugar. And when the sugar goes too high, then the insulin steps in and tries to reduce it so there's not an overload. ATP, this is the way the body stores energy and uses energy in the body. Glycogen, this is in the liver and it's a stored form of energy. Lipoproteins, that's fat proteins. Adiponectin, that is from, I think, the liver, and it's one of the things you want to keep high to lose weight. And then biotin, chromium, it's really hard to lose weight if you're a diabetic. Chromium helps make your insulin. Zinc helps make insulin. Magnesium, manganese, biotin, several other pieces. Radishes are great for diabetics because it contains so much chromium. Vitamin D, GLA, and ALA, forms of linoleic acid. Vasopressin. If you've got diabetes and high blood pressure at the same time, then you want to control vasopressin because the sugar, too much sugar, does something to the vasopressin. When the vasopressin goes high, then you get high blood pressure. Cortisol, syndrome X, and there's probably a lot of herbs that Richard knows about. Do you know herbs for diabetes?
There are specific formulations and things for balancing blood sugar, but that would be a whole long conversation. But yes, there are things that can be done to help the system.
Okay. Well, there's type 1 diabetes, and this is an autoimmune issue when the pancreas just doesn't create the insulin you need at all. So you're on artificial insulin the rest of your life unless you get some kind of transplant or something. And then there's type 2 diabetes, which is a lot of the times genetic, too much glucose, too much sugar, too much carbohydrates, too little insulin, inability to open the receptors, sedentary lifestyle, toxins, high blood pressure, a lot of different ways that people can have diabetes. So insulin, a hormone produced by the pancreas. And then on the other hand, you've got the liver, and when it gets fatty, it's creating too much cortisol, and that interferes with everything, and that interferes with the fat metabolism, and the more fat you have, especially abdominal or visceral fat, the more resistant you are to the insulin. And when you're resistant to the insulin, your blood gets thick with sugar, and that's when you get high blood pressure and strokes. So there's a lot of stuff going on with this. These are some of the minerals you need: manganese, magnesium, biotin, zinc. There's probably a lot of good resources out there for people in the chat. This just happens to be pure encapsulations that I showed. You need minerals. They're showing now that adrenal stress, just adrenal stress alone, can cause diabetes. And that backs up on you need the minerals that adrenal stress depletes. So find a really good source. We like Pure, but there's a lot of other ones. We've had some people on the show. Richard, what was your friend that made that glucose stuff, and he made the chocolate, that wonderful vitamin chocolate?
Oh, the nutraceuticals. I actually saw him this weekend because he's in Santa Cruz. Yeah, he makes a great, that's Herb Prods, HERBPRODS.com, and he makes the glucobalance formula, which has actually been double-blind studied under medical, doctor study, but it wasn't released because it's a whole long story. I mean, it has to be released in a journal, and the journals won't recognize it because it's a study about herbal products, and they hate that, in my opinion.
You should start your own journal about herbs.
Yeah.
One of the other things that we found with methylation mapping, which is one of your issues, Richard, is that epinephrine, and remember where serotonin and dopamine come down through in creating energy in that number two cycle? Norepinephrine and epinephrine are part of that. It says that it activates the insulin and the receptor cells for the insulin. I don't know if you can buy epinephrine, but it's an F-sharp if anybody wants to, as a practitioner, wants to look at it. You also need arginine, leucine, acetylcholine. So the arginine's an F, the leucine's a C, acetylcholine is another F-sharp, and then the epinephrine is an F-sharp. We're trying to move through these quickly so we can get to actually doing this and showing you about it. Remember, when we do these shows, we're going to give away at least one software. And remember, you always write to drawing@soundhealthoptions.com if you would like to make yourself eligible for that. So let's talk about insulin for a minute. Produced by the pancreas, it's central to regulating carbohydrates and fats, although they found that a lot of people with diabetes don't have enough good fats, the fish fats, the avocado fats, the coconut oil fats. And a lot of the excess glucose, energy stuff, is stored in the liver until your liver is told to release it, and that release mechanism sometimes gets in the way of what's going on. So glucose, like I said, is an F-sharp, so, and ATP that kind of regulates how that gets used for energy is a note of C. If you're a bioacoustic practitioner, you'll recognize that those are reciprocals of each other. And glucose 6-phosphate is a real good indicator that diabetes is going on, because your body just doesn't have enough of the glucose 6-phosphate to regulate everything that's happening in the system. So Richard has his hand up. We're going to just start with our whole system of what's going on with this. This happens to be from one of the Guardian classes that we did. And we invite all of you to become Guardian members, because we can tell you things there that we cannot tell you other places, because it is a private network of people. We think everybody should become part of the Guardian Network. So if somebody's reporting, if three or four people are reporting that they've got some kind of big toxin going on, we can immediately give them the antidote and they can put it out there and maybe save their family or their community. Everything that we are saying is in an instruction booklet on our website under downloads, and it's, if you can go to bonus software, and I think bonus software is PrevEC. They'll be changing it on probably the 10th of April to another software, and I don't know what that's going to be, but down at the bottom there is a little booklet, blue and yellow. Everything we're going to do right now is step-by-step guide, is this bioacoustic basics. So you could, if you win the insulin resistance program, you could go test everybody you know. Or if you think that there's some vaccination damage, that's another one that you can pull down and use. So we're going to start with a program called Audacity. This is a free program. Takes a few minutes to download. Very easy, easy, easy to use. Well, I'm saying that. Richard, do you think it's easy?
It's pretty darn easy. It's a little cumbersome at first until you kind of understand, because it's not the best instructions about Audacity itself. But once you kind of begin to poke around and use it, it's really a very good, easy to use portable program. I mean, it works on all applications, so that's what I really like it for.
Well, we put it in our textbook, too, step-by-step instructions to use it. So I'm going to hit this red button, and Richard's going to talk for 30 seconds. You can see the count numbers here. And he's going to talk to me about why he thinks he might have an insulin resistance or a liver issue, a glucose issue, if he's ever had it, if it's in his family, da-da-da. You ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
I think I have a liver issue. I don't feel that I have a blood sugar level issue because I never have. However, I think I have a liver issue because when I was a little over 2 years ago, I had 30 hours of surgeries. And because of the kinds of surgeries I had, I was on every kind of nuclear antibiotic that there could possibly be and numerous other drugs for pain and for what they were trying to correct. And so my liver has been taken out on a rugby field and kicked around like a ball for many quarters. And so I think that is part of my methylation issues and other issues going on with my liver, more so than the genetic proclivity to being diabetic. And
okay. I let it run a little long because I had a little strip right here in front that I need to roll over and just hit the little scissors and get rid of that. Oh, I didn't get rid of all of it. We need somewhere between 25 and 35 seconds. We usually try for like 30. So we chopped out a bit. We could chop out more here, but it's really not necessary. So I'm going to not save this. I'm going to export it. And I think I will call it Richard's Liver.
And I'm going to put that.
I'm going to put it in my GNS, no, my waves file, because I just took a wave, and I try to organize all my waves in one pot. So we can kill this now. Well, I'm just going to minimize it. And we're going to open something called Audacity. I'm going to open a new one. Those are all old we were working on. Now, this is available for you. It's a free download from us, and there's instructions to show you how to use it.
So just for people listening, Sherry said Audacity, but what she really meant and what she was opening was the program called Abacus.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Richard. Mm-hmm. Trying to open something and keep my fingers and my tongue together is sometimes a problem. So I am going to import his WAVE file. On every download that we have, there are Abacus, Audacity, bundling information. You can go to our website and download enough stuff to start a business to make $30 to $40 an hour. and it's all free. Yes, you have to buy your microphone, somewhere between $15 and $30 probably, but you could start a business doing this. You could help your neighbors find out if they have If they have diabetic tendencies. So we put this in our WAVES file, and so there's Richard's liver, and I'm going to double-click, and it's going to drop it on a grid. And a grid goes
from
zero.
Well, there we are, my good friend, methylation.
Yes. It's a grid that is hot. It's very active. We can put our cursor any place on this grid, and it'll give us a frequency. So what we did was overlay Richard's voice on top of this grid. And it's 0 to minus 60 on the vertical axis and 0 to 1,000 cycles per second. So we probably wouldn't hear the very low tone, but the computer picks it up, and we probably wouldn't hear the really high ones either. It's just beyond our hearing. No, it isn't, because you can hear up to 20,000 cycles per second. It's just something we're not going to pay attention to. So we're going to ask the computer what is wrong or right with Richard's voice, because there's really nothing totally wrong. It's what you do about it that makes a difference. And Richard, I don't remember there being such a high hole in your voice. Do you remember?
I don't either. I do not, no. And I'm actually curious for a change at the very beginning. A few beats in, there's actually kind of a normal area now, a little further, that normal area there. There's like an actual chunk of normal. I'm so usually elevated in methylation, it's always like, oh my God. But I do not remember that other hole at all.
Well, Richard has a triangle here too, and this is a toxin, Richard. So don't know what you've been into, but we probably should find out.
Mold, we're gonna
fill in a few things. Mold doesn't look triangular like this.
Okay.
Mold looks like several little hills that are almost the same. And that's called architecture. That's in the book, too, to teach you how to pick out these different kinds of architecture. So, Richard, let's say Richard's brain. No, liver. We're doing your liver today. And we're doing this in happy hour. And we don't care about what the birthday is today, although there's a lot of grain allergies and glucose allergies going about today. If anybody has read the keynote that we posted on, well, I guess we didn't get it posted till yesterday. Something was going on with Wix, and we couldn't get anything posted. Couldn't get any pictures posted. So it's up there now. But it has blood sugar as an issue right now. So let's look at glucose and insulin. So I have to put something in there so the computer will know what we're going for. Now, you could go in there and look at all the oddball things, and I think this one right there in the beginning, that pyramid, looks very odd. And we could tell the computer to put it over here on our list. We have blanks. We can put in 24 different frequencies that we think look odd. But we could also go to this little circle right here and say, pick them out for us. We're too lazy. You want things that are above this gray grid, because that's normal, and that means there's too much of it or the body's not utilizing it. And you want to look at what's below the gray grid, and that's low. The body doesn't have enough. So I'm just going to leave it like it is, and I'm going to export that, not file it, not save it. I'm going to hit this little Rubik's Cube icon, and it will allow me to save those frequencies. So I'm going to save those under my GNS file, my Genesis file, where we started. Everything I'm telling you is in pictures and in writing in that bioacoustic basic text that we're providing for you. I'm going to minimize that and then open insulin resistance. That's one of the softwares. It's the one we're giving away. So drawing at soundhealthoptions.com. And it's easy from here. So I push accept, say I'm doing this for research purposes. I go to File, Open Client. I go to my GNS file on my desktop. Richard is right on top there because I organize things by how when they're created. And what that does is drop all of those frequencies right in there, everything that we picked out, those all those highs and lows. And the thing I like to look at first is the proteins and the genes, because that tells you where you're going. So I'm going down to the bottom of the software, push uncheck all, and then go back and check proteins and genomes, and hit report, and the computer will make two reports for me. And let me see if I can put these all on one little grid here. Anything that we're going to find alike, that's what's going to be really important. Something can start as a gene, and it's just kind of a suggestion. But when it ends up putting off proteins, then we really know that it's manifested in the body. So we look at everything that's high and low. Insulin-like growth factor is low. Insulin-like growth factor receptor is low. Let's see what that really does, because everything has a use in this program. Inhibits ability of insulin to transport the glucose. That, do you have any fatigue, Richard? Because that's what that'll end up feeling like.
I'm tired today from 4 days of conference and driving, but normally my energy level is pretty consistent.
Okay. Here's neuropeptide Y stimulates insulin secretion. Sometimes that's associated with seizures, too. Insulin resistant gene, very high. Interacts with muscle protein. GRLA, that shows a protein that deals with the use of glycine, dimethyl and trimethyl glycine. A lot of times when there's a problem with getting sugars to the muscle, then the muscles will get stiff and uncooperative. So you have that high. We should look at that.
I have that in my legs.
Aha! We need to see what frequency this is. Betaine hydrochloride will usually help that. I'm not allowed to tell you that, though. Bob Schrichty is on with us. That is awesome. Bob is the one that is using frequency-based insulin to help control his type 1 diabetes. I haven't seen you on with us for a long time. It's great to have you here, Bob. Okay, adducin, hypertension, more prevalent with type 2 diabetes. Adducin 3, you have one high and one low. I don't know if they're the same frequency, but we'll check it. C-reactive protein, inflammatory marker, biomarker of insulin resistance. So if I were out there and I was a practitioner and I suspected somebody had insulin resistance, I'd run them through insulin resistance. I'd run them through liver, adrenal, cortisol, inflammation. And in Richard's case, mapping, because a lot of his voice was up above that gray grid. So that's six softwares: cholesterol, adrenal, inflammation, insulin resistance, because that shows your receptors too. And one of the things about vocal profiling and sound presentation is that you cannot go buy an insulin receptor, but we can provide it to you with frequency. So I'm really happy we found the stiff man syndrome stuff, because that goes with mapping, that BHMT and that ability to use methionine. But I don't see any of these that are exactly the same. Some insulin resistance stuff, but nothing that's exactly the same. So that to me tells me it's not totally manifested genetically and by just being alive and walking around. But let's push all the rest of these and let's see what we have. It needed a lot of minerals. You're not on medications. We could look at herbs. I'm going to unclick activators, muscles, chemicals. Okay, let's look at, see if your glucose or adiponectin or leptin or any of those show up. Okay, we're looking at a chart that's C, C sharp, D, D sharp, and it'll guide us toward which of, maybe it won't, it'll guide us toward what we need to look at. C sharp, we want to look at four, anything four or more, that would tell us it's a problem. But Richard doesn't have any fours. He does have a couple of threes, three threes. C sharp, which is tendons and ligaments, and bowel. And bowel was one of the reasons you were in the hospital. D is liver. And there is a 3 on G, utilization of minerals, and a 3 on B, circulation and small body mechanics. So a lot of little things coming in, but nothing to really push. Thank you, Bob, for answering all those questions for people. So those of you in chat, Bob is there answering questions about diabetes. That's great. So coumarin, you know, put this in soup. Do you use a lot of it? It shows high here. Curcumin?
Yes, I do. Well, I use a lot of turmeric, and I take a lot of turmeric, and I use it a lot in cooking.
Reduces kidney damage in type 1 diabetes. May reduce kidney damage associated with diabetic neuropathy. I love it in soups. So we know why it's high. You're taking a lot of it. Chemicals, conjugated linoleic acid, high 3 times. Oh, but it's not 3 times. It's just 3 different uses. DHA, high. Glucosamine. MSM is high. Do you take MSM?
Oh, yeah. Several teaspoons a day. So that makes sense that that would be elevated.
You might be able to back off a little of both of those because they show high.
Okay.
The way we would test this, we would do the frequency and see if you liked it. And if you liked it, it would just mean that it is high because it's not usable. And so your body uses the frequency to make it work. And then if you look at MSM and we give you the frequency and you're kind of, I don't think I like that, you might be taking too much of it. So bioacoustics is a great way to monitor your nutrients at the same time. B1, B1, B6, B6, high, low, low B1s, and high B6s. These are water-soluble. It's very hard to be high in a water-soluble nutrient unless you're taking a lot of it. So not enough of B1 and too much of B6. Can you adjust that?
Yes, actually, about an hour before the show, I had a lunch where I did have a high-dose B vitamin, a super nutrition supplement that's a high level. So I understand the elevated level, but I'll be having to look at why the B1 is so low.
Well, remember, usually just B1 is low because it's not in there. But sometimes it's because it doesn't have its sister components to make it work. Mm-hmm. It says alcohol is high. Now, remember, alcohol is the same as other frequencies. These are just toxins.
Yeah, I haven't had anything with alcohol or a wine or a beer. I had a beer over the weekend, one. But so that must be something else.
Yeah, it's a frequency of something else. Bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. That's why you can't say, oh, my God, your alcohol is high. You got to quit drinking. Because when you go look at the frequency for alcohol, it can be milk protein or something. I don't know what else it is, but so you just can't jump to that conclusion. You can only jump to the conclusion that the frequency equivalent for that thing is high. Insulin, low. I don't think we have a frequency just or a pathway just for the creation of the insulin. But insulin low here, testosterone, an artificial kind, is high. And again, that's one of the frequencies of the liver that's the same as this type of testosterone. So I would say your liver is a bit inflamed, but I'm not allowed to say that. biochemicals, we already looked at these, the MSM and all that. Okay, amino acids, acetylcarnitines, they go high when you're not using your fatty acids. Look at that. Glycine is low. That's exactly what causes that stiff man syndrome in your legs, but it's high and low at the same time. And look, may stimulate insulin secretion, may stimulate, and it says the same usage. So that's in your voice two times. That is a double. You don't want homocysteine high. That can throw clots. Usually shows that you need more B12, but we have to look more about this. Phenylalanine, a precursor to the production of insulin. So it does look like you've got insulin too low here. We have several frequencies for insulin. They're in my lab book, so I'll get them for you. Richard's a practitioner is the reason I'm giving him these frequencies. Well, that's not bad. Shows some glycine.
I do. I want to jump in and ask that question I saw in chat. Is somebody was saying, because I think it was Bob in chat, that it's saying about 85 is a good level, and somebody just asked, what happens if your blood sugar, you know, if you're 80 or less? What does that mean? Hypo.
There's hypo and hyper. Hyper, high glycemia, that's diabetes. Hypoglycemia. You get the shakes, you can't find your way home, you just can't think when you're hypoglycemic. And you have to keep eating small meals just to keep the glucose moving. Usually, hypo or low blood sugar is a precursor to high blood sugar. Somebody with too much insulin would be hypoglycemia, or too little glucose, too much insulin, you could end up getting hypoglycemic. Usually, people who are hypo, low blood sugar, they usually live longer. They usually have healthier lives. Not eating everything you see, or staying hungry, usually causes a longer lifespan. Okay, we just put liver in here for Richard. So let's go looking to see what issues with the liver he might have. Proteins, genomes. Insulin-like growth factor, that was on your other one. Insulin-like growth factor receptor, that was on your other one. Low-density lipoprotein receptors. Mevalonate 5 pyrophosphate. This is what is needed for your body to use the good cholesterol. This is what statins kill, the mevalonate. The low-density lipids, boy, and I never can keep this straight. Those are the good guys, isn't it? The low densities are the good guys?
I think they're the good guys. I always have a hard time with that, but I think they're the good guys.
This, and I try to remember it by getting a good grade, a high grade, or a low grade, and a low grade is bad. But inhibits high, good cholesterol. So we need to look at this, too, because this can just play absolute havoc. You aren't on statins, are you?
Nope.
You are? Nope?
No, okay. I am not.
So we need to look at your glycine, and we need to look at this mevalonate. Carnitine, acetylcarnitine translocase. Never heard of that. Associated with fatty acid transport, and that may be where your fatty acids are coming in, showing too high. Carnitine, remember you had carnitine, acetylcarnitine, and I said
yes.
You need that to transport your fatty acids?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you taking that?
I take it in a supplement that has arginine in it, and citrulline, arginine, citrulline, and carnitine. So some, but not frequently, or not regularly.
Well, it just looks like you need more. Okay, we still see the same node correlate chart with 3333 here in it. Cysteine is high. You take NAC a lot, don't you? May
yes.
help prevent fatty liver. Did you know that part of it?
I did not. I know it was really beneficial to the liver, but I didn't know the fatty liver part.
It, when we look at Indian populations, it looks like the fatty liver is starting first before the diabetes starts in. So somehow the body's inability to process fats, and then the fats put off the chemicals that cause insulin resistance. Pangamic acid, amino acid derivative thought to support detoxification of the liver. Now that's low. And I don't know where you get pangamic acid, do you?
Is that sometimes referred to as B15?
Boy, that sounds right. Susan?
Doesn't that sound right?
Yeah. Suzanne put in the chat, LDL is bad, HDL is good.
Thank you, Suzanne.
So getting a low grade is bad, getting a high grade is good. Cholic acid is high. Now, cholic acid is the precursor for your hormones for your liver, your reproductive hormones. The cholic acid makes cholesterol. The cholesterol makes estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, moves into aldosterone for male hormones, immune system, and prostaglandins that help take care of inflammation. So that cholic acid, we need to find a way to see if that cholic acid is really high and just accumulating. So we need the frequencies for that. And glycogen A. We need your liver to release that. And this is a great lose weight. We can get this stored fat activated and get it into the body as energy. I think that's a good pathway for losing weight. And I just saw this on TV, that if you lose 7% of your body weight, there's a 58% reduction in the chance of you having diabetes.
Hmm.
And that was Marie Osmond. It was a commercial. I hope I'm remembering it right. Good thing we have people like Suzanne and Steve keeping us all straight here. This is an herb, isn't it? Didn't this come from flower? Astaxanthin?
It does. I can't remember the herb that it comes from, but yes, it's derived from an herb.
Somewhere in my head I'm associating that with dandelion blossoms.
Mm.
We'll have to go look that one up. Susan, you good to look that up for us? Astaxanthin, xanthin. Astaxanthin. Wish I could pronounce things. Here's your fatty acids again being too high, probably not usable. Do you have the liver program, Richard?
I do.
Okay, we need to look up some of these.
I thought by just having it, my liver would be happier.
Well, I think the glycine is throwing a glitch in here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of muscle tension right now because of the nutrients, all the minerals that are in stress, that are causing a lot of muscle cramps. And you have some muscle cramps anyway, so that's going to be even worse. Artichoke leaf is low. That's good for heart stuff. Oh, may help prevent fatty liver. Artichoke leaf. Now, do they mean artichoke heart. I didn't know you could eat the leaf. I just thought you could eat
the
heart.
Well, I think actually I know that artichoke stem, the actual part that we would typically eat, is good for blood sugar balancing. So there may be also a thing in the... you wouldn't eat the... whatever that's called that you peel off and then suck off the yummy stuff. I forget what that's called. Not exactly a leaf because it's a petal off a flower. But you could cook that down and use it in a broth, because I've actually used artichokes in stock to flavor them because it has a nice, you know, flavor to it. So I'll have to look that up.
We have two messages. One from Dale that says that Dr. McCullough promotes this, somebody tell me how, atazanthine on his website. And then Jenny says it's not an herb, and John says it's found in microalgae, yeast, salmon, trout, krill, shrimp, crayfish, and crustaceans. Stemmed artichoke leaf dipped in butter. Are they talking about the little teeny, not like a great big green leaf, but the outside of the heart?
Yeah, I think they're talking about the outside of the heart.
Okay. Cindy says she purchased shredded diced artichoke to make a tea.
Huh.
And Kabbalah says atazanthine is an antioxidant supplement that helps fight the signs of aging and is support joint and skeletal health. Suzanne says it's a kelp carotenoid and an antioxidant, helps fight anti-aging, helps joints. Steve says it gives you built-in sunburn protection. I love it, guys. We're getting a lot more information than Richard and I can remember this evening. Here's a polyphenol, and I have the slightest idea. C-Y-N-A-R-I-N, cynarin, and it's low. Biologically active constituent of artichoke. Okay, I'm going home and have some artichokes.
Absolutely.
I have some pickled artichokes in the fridge.
I'm gonna have to cook an artichoke up and drag it through hollandaise. But there's good egg yolks in there. But yes.
Yeah. Well, it's preventing that fatty liver. We need to get your cholesterol, your folic acid, your glycine. I think if we cleaned up your fatty liver, that would really help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look real quick at your methylation.
Always a treat. Almost guaranteed whenever you hear my voice is going to be methylation charts involved. It's amazing.
Do you think some of this stems from that you take a lot of supplements?
I do, and have forever. I've always been a, not exactly a Dirk and Sandy Shaw advocate, but I've always been a fan of supplementation.
They're good people.
They're nut jobs, but they're brilliant.
I'm just going to run these reports and run through them real quick to see if anything is... Okay, we still got some sulfur stuff. Vitamin D receptor is high. I don't know if that's good or bad. Cysteine, glycine, glycine, homocysteine, tryptophan. We saw those before in your other reports. Adenine, MSM, thymidine... Thymidine, that's 5-methylfolate stuff. That's good to know. Superoxide dismutase is low. You probably have some of that around. Here's the biggie, the ACHY genome. This shows that you are spitting sulfur in your urine. So you're not processing sulfur. And sulfur is a great cofactor for amino acids, vitamins, and here's the SAHH. That's also part of your sulfur issue.
And so that means that I'm also, that also means that it could be high on the genome. It also means that I'm not fully be able to utilize the MSM that I take because I'm trying to use it partially for the sulfur benefit. Okay.
Yes. If we would go just look at the program and look at this map. And it's not coming up. I want to look at the old map. Well, when you look at the map, it's down here in the corner, and there's a little box down below. It's on that, you've heard us talk about this before, heartfixer.com, and that map. The ACHY shows that there's an issue with transporting bad sulfurs into the good guys. It's not on this map, but it's down here, and it just means you're throwing sulfur, and SAHH is up here. You know, right beside that glycine, that might be your problem. Now I've lost the whole mapping thing. Well, that's weird. I don't want to waste time, but I have just totally lost your file. Well, if I get rid of one of these, maybe it'll show up back on this little tray. Because it looks like there's two sets of trays, and I can't get to that other. Do you understand what I'm saying? The mapping program's not showing up here. It's just gone.
It's just gone. It's just hidden someplace.
Yeah. Oh, and we're out of time anyway. But I want to know what's going on there. Did I accidentally close it down? This is 331. Yeah, this is it. I just accidentally closed it down. MAOMSRA, look at that, very high. So the enzyme for using methionine is at issue here. Are you taking methionine?
I take a sunflower lecithin. That's where I get my methionine, choline, and inositol. So some, not as much as I had.
Now some of it's not working. Pyruvate is low. That's your precursor to get the trash out of your muscles. CBS, that's up there with homocysteine. BHMT low, that's genetic, and that's using that glycine that you are having trouble with. MTRR is low. Boy, there's just so much here, we can't even go into it because we're already out of time. We should do one on just methylation mapping, but definitely livers first and... Not livers first, liver second, the diabetes, insulin resistance is third, but your methylation mapping is definitely where we should have started. That's what we really need to look at. Want to remind people, if they want to be in the drawing at soundhealthoptions.com for an insulin resistance software, we'll let you know within usually 24 hours. Who won? People who are allergic to nightshade family would get joint pain if they ate something, but they didn't say what they're eating. Artichokes are in the nightshade family, they say. Richard, we got to work on your sulfur. We are supposed to have a lady about people who set up their own suicides. On Sunday. Is that going to happen, Richard? It's going to be Easter Sunday, so I wasn't sure if we were going to have a class or not.
I don't know. We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay.
I don't know at this exact moment, but we'll figure it out.
Okay. Thank you for all of the chat. You certainly make our jobs easier here. If you think this is an important piece of software, please tell your friends about it. See if they would like to know more about it, and we'll make arrangements to do a presentation for you or your community or your friends. Just stay in touch. I'm Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com, and Richard is talktomeguy@gmail.com. Great. Thank you for being here. Boy, that was quick, and we're just out of time, so we got to go. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everybody. That was fun. I feel like the Roadrunner suddenly. Beep, beep. We're out of here. Thank you, everybody.